Blog Talk Radio.
They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. They said I'd never amount to anything, but I'm glad to say that I'm on my way, and I'm growing more and more each day.
Welcome to the couch with Stacey Lunsford. We bring you greetings from the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we have a very special guest this afternoon, and her name is Millicent Stevens. Some of you are familiar with Ms. Stevens because she is a panelist on the Eloquently Speaking View talk show. So some of you have been introduced to all of the wonderful messages and words of encouragement that she has been sharing on the radio. But there is much more to Millicent. Millicent is a wife. She is a mother of eight via a blended family. She is the oldest of four children, and she loves to tease her sisters that she is the cutest of them all. At 17 years old, she accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of her life. She then became a member of Victory Christian Center of Philadelphia under the leadership of Bishop Jimmy A. Ellis III. There she became the first greeter and one of the first choir members. More importantly, she learned how to study the Word of God and how to pray God's Word. Feeling that there was more for her to do as a child of God, the Holy Spirit moved Millicent from Victory to Freedom Christian Bible Fellowship under the leadership of Bishop Gilbert Coleman. And after 6 months of disciplined training, she recognized the teaching gift within her and was given an opportunity to teach discipleship for new converts and new members of the church. Never did she ever think she was called to ministry. She just enjoyed teaching. Currently, Millicent is a member of Church of Christian Compassion under the leadership of Pastor Lonnie Herndon and his wife, Sister Kim. Their leadership has been such a blessing to Millicent, and she has grown in her relationship with the Father. As Pastor Herndon and his wife, Kim, freely gives her space to be who God has called her to be. And she has grown, she is excelling, and God is using her in a mighty way. So at this time, I want to introduce to some and present to others an anointed woman of God that is passionate about spreading God's love and just living an example of how women are to love on one another and support one another. She is very passionate about women's ministry. So I'm excited about this interview with her today, and I want to welcome you, Millicent, to the mic. Thank you so much for joining me for this interview today.
Thank you so much. I am so appreciative that you even invited me. I'm so honored to be on the show today, and, you know, I'm looking forward to the interview.
Well, I am so glad that we was able to work out all of the scheduling. And the one thing that I forgot to say is that you are a published author. So we have a lot to talk about, but I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the audience, and we're just going to open up with whatever you want to share, and then I'll kind of jump in and go through some of the questions that I have for you.
Okay, it sounds good. So as Stacey said, I am now a licensed minister and a member of the Church of Christian Compassion, and the ride has been awesome. Since I've been there, I have grown in leaps and bounds, and the things that God is doing in me now, I never thought I never even imagined. So I'm just so grateful to what he's doing in my life. I'm so grateful to the changes that are taking place, how I'm growing, how I'm getting closer to God and doing more in ministry. And then I wanted to just make one correction. So Stevens is actually my maiden name. I am actually, as Stacey said, I am a wife of going on 20 years, and my husband and I have been together for 23 years, and his name is Scott, and my last name is Murray. And so I've been Millicent Murray now for that many years, and I'm so excited. My husband and I have a great relationship, and we fuss and fight with each other, but let somebody come up against them, and there'll be a problem. I'm his ride or die. I'm his ride or die, ride or die for real. And then also with the with ministry, we also are partners, not just in marriage and taking care of, you know, the children that we have raised, but we're also business partners. And so we have our business, Murray and Murray Weddings and Events. We actually just did an event this past Sunday that was a great success. So we're just so happy. We're actually getting geared up for the next event now. And that's pretty much me.
Well, I'm excited to hear what you just said, and that's another reason why I played the song, They Said I Wouldn't Make It, because so many times we go through things in life, and it seems like things not going to come together, but we just continue to hold on to his unchanging hand, and you held on, and God showed up, and he showed out. So I'm so glad that your event was a success, and thank you for the correction with your name. And I just want to piggyback. I made an announcement on my page about your interview, but I also mentioned that you and your husband, which I'm not sure with the confirmation with him, but you're going to be doing a whole segment on marriage.
Yes,
and
yes, we are.
If you all are really paying attention, when she started talking about her husband, her smile got brighter and she started giggling. And that is because this woman is so in love with her husband, but her husband is so in love with her. And you would have to see them together to understand why I'm excited telling this story to you. They are a model couple that God is using to encourage other married people. And as an anointed teacher and an encourager, Millicent is going to be doing a special segment, and hopefully her husband will join her, and they're going to be teaching on marriage. And I don't know if it's going to be like an ongoing thing, but I know she's going to be doing like two different sessions with it. So I want to encourage all of the married people that are listening, and maybe you'll listen a little later, but to stay connected, visit the website so you can see all of the upcoming shows and the lineup, and you can stay connected with Millicent and this teach that she's going to do. And Millicent, I want to ask you, why is that topic so important to you, and what is the main area that you feel is needed with educating women today that are not married, but they are looking for their Boaz?
Yes. So it is very important to me. Just looking at whether it's my fellow sisters in Christ and even our unsaved women, a lot of times when we're growing up, we're not really taught how to prepare ourselves for adulthood. You know, we're not taught how to prepare ourselves for relationships and what that means and what does that mean as an adult in a relationship. We're not taught that. And so sometimes we go into these relationships and we have all this baggage from our previous relationship, we have our baggage from our childhood and different things that have taken place. And, of course, you remember when we had that conversation before when we were talking about, those of us who may have been molested when we were younger and so forth. And so even though we, you know, think we're healed and we've moved forward, it comes out in our relationships. It comes out in those things. And so we have to have training. We have to have counseling. We have to be prepared for what marriage is about. And it's not, I'm not saying that marriage is so super hard. What makes marriage hard is when we get selfish, when we get in ourselves, when we stay in our feelings and things like that. But marriage is beautiful if you care about one another, if you think of one another, if you respect one another, not just as your husband or your wife, but if you respect each other as a person, just a person. Just respect them as another person, another human being, and honor them. It changes the scope of the marriage. And not saying that my husband and I don't have our disagreements, because we do, because that's how we're learning each other more and more, and we're always learning something new. It never gets old for it to be 20 years, even though there are stories that we've told each other over and over again. There are things that we still we find out about each other, like, I didn't know that, that comes up, stuff that we remember from our own childhood that comes out, and we talk about it. And so that is so key to me, to be trained and to be, and get themselves prepared. Even though people go to counseling, and that's a great thing, you have to go to counseling before you get married. But before you even get to that place, to be prepared for it, to know what you're looking for, what you want, what you desire, and be honest with God, not just I want somebody that's 6 foot with this, this, that, and the other, but more so just being honest with God with the things that you really desire and what you're looking for, and asking the Holy Spirit, like, help me date the right, hurt people, help me to, be in the right place, and also help me get rid of those things that will cause me to, yes, find someone great and then lose them because I haven't taken care of those issues that I may have come into the relationship with. So very important to me.
Oh, my goodness. That's crucial. Is a major piece there. And last night I did a follow-up to the discussion on Friday. And the topic was the impact of rejection. And that is so connected to what you're saying because, we have to get to the root issues. And before you think about coming together with another person, make sure you're healed, because all of that stuff will come out at some point in the marriage. And, I mean, it could be lying there dormant. You have no idea, but boom, then here it comes. And, Millicent, I think that it's important that a man and a woman also understand godly submission and be able to first submit to God. Because if they can't submit to his authority from a biblical perspective, they're not going to be able to submit to one another. And men, I'm not going to say men, but sometimes with teachings, they always harp on the woman needs to submit to the husband. But God says they must submit to one another. But without submitting to him, none of it really matters.
And that is so very true. Go ahead.
It's true. And I went in that direction because I see the submission of your husband to God and his submission to you. And I see your submission to God and your submission to your husband. And you guys make it look so easy. And I'm glad you said that, y'all have y'all issues. Y'all not perfect. Y'all have problems. And everybody do. But it's how you handle them. But I'm telling you, I am so inspired by your relationship with your husband because you actually enjoy being with him. He enjoys being with you, but you guys have so much fun together.
Stacey, he gets on my nerves. I beat him up as much as I possibly can, and I always lose, but I don't care because I'm still try to pin him down or something like that, and then he'll still flip me over anyway. But I'm still going to try it because, that's just what I do. But, yes, we do enjoy together. We are silly together and stuff like that, and it's actually because we like each other, it has helped us through those times when things were tough, because we know that love covers a multitude of sins, and thank God for genuine love and submission to each other. But because we like each other, that makes it so much easier because we enjoy doing certain things, and we have a lot in common. You know, when we found out that we booked, when he found out I love roller coasters, well, the first thing, when he found out I can cook, then that was, that I was in for sure. Cause, and then the man ate three plates of food that I cooked. And then when he found out that I enjoy roller coasters and traveling, and these are things that he liked too. We have so many things in common that it just thank God, you know, it all worked.
Well, that is wonderful. And now that, did you want to give him a shout out while you're on?
Yes, he actually was just in the room making a whole bunch of noise, and I told him he had to sit down and be quiet or get out. But
okay.
Yes, that's my homie. I tell
I
you,
love
ladies,
it. I love it.
Yeah, you ladies, I'm telling you, you will find that one. Just prepare yourself. Sit down with God. Submit unto God. Let him do a work in you. And I'm telling you, when that time comes and you do meet that guy, I'm telling you, it will be such a blessing to you. And some of you have waited for a long time. Sit back and ask God why. You know, get with him. Sit with the Holy Spirit. What do I need to change? What am I doing incorrectly? You know, and maybe it's not your time yet, or maybe you're missing it because of different things in you that God wants to bring out of you. And then you too can have, you know, that blessed relationship. God wants it for all of us.
Amen. Thank you for saying that. So now I want to transition into motherhood. Because we just discussed you are a wife, but you are also a mother of 8 children with a blended family. And you know I thought about the Waltons because they had a very big family. But just jump right in. How challenging was it having a blended family? And what challenges did you and your husband face in the beginning?
Yes, so I'm about to be like,
if you faced any challenges.
Oh. Yes, we did. And actually, I'm going to be really candid, and because all of us have passed, and all of us have gotten into stuff that we shouldn't have, right? And so I had 2 children before he and I, when Scott and I met, I had 2 boys from a former marriage. And my son, my husband left me. My first husband left. He was schizophrenic. So I dealt with some, you know, mental disease issues. And that's a totally different story that I would, you know, share with people one day and dealing with that and being married to someone that. So I had my 2 boys. Scott had 1 daughter at the time. No, he had 3 children at the time, and we had our last daughter together, and then found out later in our marriage that he did have another daughter. And so in my household, we raised 5. Now, when I had my last daughter, which was 10 years from my second son, and my daughter is the one that blends the family together because Scott and her, I had her together. I thought I was good, like I was scot-free, right? And then his former wife died, and that's the person he has the 2 children from. And so they came to live with us. And so now I am a mother of 5. I have 2 teenage boys. I have 2 elementary school students, and I have 1 little one that was in daycare. And the scheduling and that transition was a lot. God gave me a lot of grace, because I'll be honest with you, it was tough at first. I don't know. I just felt like, oh, my God, can I handle all of this? Can I do this? Can I do ministry also? Can I go to work? You know, it was just so much, and my husband and I, we just worked together, and we got it done. And, you know, and I don't think we did a bad job. I think that we could have done even better job, but we were working and trying to make sure we kept food on the table, and it was very challenging, all the different personalities. And even when we got my son and daughter that was from his former wife, they're, you know, my kids, And I love them just as mine. I don't call them stepchildren. They are my children because I had them since they were young. They had some challenges of their own from their family, some different generational curses. And at the time, I didn't recognize those things. I was able to help them. I was able to pray and get them to a place where they grew up. And matter of fact, my one daughter, she has a disease called neurofibromatosis, and she has the number one of that. So she has NF1. They shortened it to NF. So she has NF1. So she has some challenges with reading and processing words. But once you read something to her, she could answer the questions. Her comprehension was off the charts. But I didn't, that was a challenge trying to teach someone with those issues and the other issues that came with NF1. So I gained, health issues as well as some other, mental health challenges. And it was a lot. It was scary for me. But I really thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God that he made me the person that I am, because another woman wouldn't have been able to handle it, but I was able to still have parties and play with them because I'm very playful. So I like to wrestle them down to the floor and tickle and chase and all kinds of things. And each one of the kids, I had a special thing that I did with that kid. So my daughter, Denine, the one that has NF1, she would play with the back of my hair and suck her two fingers. She doesn't do that anymore, but that's what she did, and that was our thing. My son, her brother, we would sit next to each other with our legs crossed together and our feet touching each other. That was our thing. It was a closeness, a bond, and I was so glad that I was able to have those moments. I had songs for them, like my own personal songs for them, and it just helped with raising them and being with them and spending time with them. And now I have these beautiful adults that, they do have some of their challenges, but they've turned out to be beautiful people, and I'm so grateful.
Well, that is wonderful. You know, one of the biggest challenges with blending a family is just learning each other and learning if your background with the values and morals and ethics are the same, then that makes it a lot easier. But sometimes that can be a little bit challenging. Yeah. But ultimately, just being real and just learning them and meeting them where they are, it is very doable. And I mean, and it's so common today. And I agree with you 100%. Like, no need to say step. These are my children. So congratulations to you and your husband for, doing such a wonderful job. How long did it take for you all to really start? Because typically it takes about 2 to 5 years for a blended family to really get to that place. And I mean, some give and take, it could be more, it could be shorter, it could be longer, but how long did it take before you all really was at the table like a family?
Ooh, God, I never even looked at it in terms of years before. I mean,
okay,
it did take some time, but my two boys, the oldest, the two children that wound up moving in with us, because their mom passed away, they had already been used to them because they was already coming to the house. My husband was getting them every other weekend. So they were already used to seeing Manny and Denine. So it wasn't a big deal when they came to live with us. You know what I mean? They were already used to it. The challenge actually came from my husband's other relationship. He had two children there, and they would come over, sometimes. But that was a challenge because the mom gave him a hard time because, one, she was still angry with him, and two, she didn't like me. So that did cause some challenges with him being able to spend time with those two children like he wanted to. And, of course, it caused a bridge in their relationship, which, thank God, in adulthood, has been, fixed. But that was a challenge. the bigger challenge came when the eighth child came into play, and when we, you know, my husband finally, you know, realized that yes, or accepted actually that yes, this is his child. And so she didn't come into the family until she was 14. And she had a lot of bitterness and a lot of anger, you know, from not being able to be with her dad when she wanted to, and, you know, and everybody else had him, you know, at a younger age. So that caused a little bit of, you know, issues as well, and was very challenging. And I had to be in prayer a lot, because there were some fights. Literally, my youngest daughter and her fought. And I mean fought. Like, not even, you know, I'm talking about knives came out. So very, very, that was a very tough situation, hard to deal with. But now all of those things, as they've gotten older, a lot of that stuff is starting to pass. And because of prayer, because of the, I mean, I'm talking about I had to be a warrior and still have to be a warrior, because those generational issues that they have that comes from things that I didn't even know about in my family until you know, the Holy Spirit was showing me, that I had to pray and break those things off, because it was causing a lot of issues, you know, within the family and within the siblings themselves.
So, yes, well, yeah, I commend you. And, yes, prayer changes so much, which you know. But there are, you know, sometimes there's things hidden inside of us. And then as young children, they have so much that they're dealing with, you know. And all she wanted was to be with her father, and there's no telling what she internalized. So when things are lying dormant, it something will come along and water it. And it's either going to rise up nicely or it's going to rise up not so nice. And unfortunately, there's no way to tell. So, you know, you did a really good job with that. But I will continue to pray for you. That's actually a good prayer point for all families. And another platform that Eloquently Speaking Radio have is Eloquently Speaking about restoring the family. And everything that you're saying, it fits right in there. Because you know, children that came from the same mother, they fighting and, you know, division, and there's so much turmoil. So that's another show we could do. But I'm glad to hear that everything worked out. And from the bottom of my heart, I would love for all parents to come to common ground, to settle their differences, to forgive each other, and to walk in love, because they created those babies in love. And when the time to separate comes, it's not about you and him anymore. It's about the child. So whatever hang-ups the mother had, you know, towards you or whatever, I'm glad, you know, that got better as well. Now, for the two boys, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It didn't get better, but it doesn't matter because they're adults now, so.
Okay, yes. Well, praise the Lord for that. You know, some people just don't change. But for the boys where they were grieving, how did you all handle the grieving process? Did they go to counseling, or did you just, like, did you guys pray for them? Did they, like, how did you handle that?
The grieving process for, I'm sorry.
For losing their mom.
Oh, it was the girl. It was a girl and a boy. So Deneen and Manny.
Oh, okay.
More so prayer for them. They did not go to counseling. No, wait. They did have some type of counseling. I got to remember now. They did have a behavioral specialist come, and they did have some other counselors that came out to the house and talked with them. I'm not sure. They did talk about some grief, but I think it was more so – and I can't remember everything now because it's been so long ago.
Right.
What was done was so profound for them, and it really helped them to the point that, remember I said Deneen has NF1, and when she went to high school, she started, once I figured out what was going on with her, because when she was with her family, they were allowed to do certain things just because of her NF1. And her brother didn't have NF1, but they're 10 months apart. They automatically assumed he had it because it's a 50-50% chance that you would get it, that your child would get it if you have it. And so he would act out and everything like that, but a lot of that was coming from when they would go see their other side of the family. So we had to pull them from them for a while because they were trying to poison the kids that I was the one that had something to do with their mother's death, which I had not. She had cancer. She also had NF1, and it turned to cancer on her. And so when she passed, the kids went through a lot. They did. And it just took a lot of love and a lot of care and a lot of being with them and a lot of understanding as well, like taking the time to really just think about them and say, God, show me, you know, what I need to do. And I finally, when I just talked with them, I said, Manny, I see this. And he said, that's right, Mom. I said, I see that you're acting out because your sister is acting out. Then I found out my sister was acting out because she was just acting out because she could. She was just acting out because she could at school. And I said, why don't you act like that here? And she said, because I would get in trouble. And I said, okay, now you know what you need to do, right? And from that point forward, that girl ended up being on the honor roll several times and received letters from the government, you know, the letter you receive from the Department of Education or whatever, for her being on the honor roll, because she actually was smart, but because of the reading, it affected her. But as long as somebody could show her and as long as they could read it, she could answer those questions, and she was great. But it just took a lot of love and a lot of support, and that's what I was able to offer them.
Amen. And that is, listen, that love on the page I put, I was talking about your smile, and I said, Millicent is a distributor of God's love. Through your smile. And it's not just your smile. You have a beautiful heart. I mean, I just love your spirit, your personality, and but it shows, you know.
Thank you.
So that love is like miracle. You know, miracle grow. But talked about the husband, now we talked about the children. What is your profession right now? And I know that you have a business. So let's transition into that and let the audience know what you do, the name of your business, and how they can get in contact with you. And before I turn the mic over to you, we do have some people that are listening via the internet and on the line. And if you have a question for Millicent, please press 1, and we will open up the mic so that you can speak to her. And for those that are listening via the internet, we would like to say thank you so much for joining us. And if you have a question or a comment, please write it on the message board, and we will address your question or comment over the air and give Millicent an opportunity to respond to you. And at any point, if you would like to reach out to Millicent, she's going to give her contact information, but you can also reach out to her on the Eloquently Speaking radio network page as well. So, Millicent, take it over.
Sure. So my husband and I, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we are Murray and Murray Weddings and Events, LLC. And we started the business in 2009. We didn't get everything in order. You know, it was basically trial and error. And then in 2019, we got more serious and, you know, got our licensing and our certifications and all of that. And so we are certified wedding and event planners. We are also certified travel agents. And I am an administrator in my profession. My profession and my background is administration. So I also have a virtual assistant business that falls under there. And so that's what we do. We coordinate weddings and we coordinate events, and we've done some travel for people, and we love hospitality. Like I enjoy hospitality. I didn't know that was my thing until it was really interesting it was like a young, I was working at Pico Energy. Now, when I was working at Pico Energy, and I'm not telling any of you people my age, okay? But when I say what Pico Energy was called before, you want to probably guess. So it was called the Philadelphia Electric Company. So if you remember it being called that, that's when I worked there. And I wanted to do something different for a Christmas, for a holiday breakfast or whatever. Normally people would bring in a bunch of danishes and, you know, orange juice and coffee. And I said, how about we do something different? How about we do, you know, an actual breakfast? And so the manager at the time, he became the director. He said, well, why don't you put something together and present it to me? And so here I am on the internet looking at all the different restaurants that was in the area there on Market Street and pulled their pricing together, pulled a whole, like I'm talking everything, had a whole spreadsheet with the price per person, what they will offer, how it would be delivered, everything. And presented it to him, and he was like, let's do it, and we'll go with this one. And it was something in me that actually changed. And then I, you know, didn't do anything with it then, but years later, now I'm with my husband, and we had different families to go to, so we would go to his mom's house for dinner, or we would go over my mom's house or whatever for the holidays, so we would split like Christmas and Thanksgiving and so forth up. And so this one Thanksgiving, my husband says, right before, he says, I want my own dinner. I said, all right, well, I can cook on Friday then. And then we said, well, why don't we invite some people? You know, like, you know, just very cavalier about it. And so we did. And so we ended up having this huge dinner at our house. People came over. We had an absolute ball, and it wound up being a yearly thing. And that's how it started. So whenever we had something at our house, we always had a lot of people come over. We actually had a couples event, and we had his aunt and uncle who are in their, at the time they were in their late 50s, and they were still hot and heavy as if they were in their 20s. And they were able to minister to these couples that were engaged and that were also married. And so we had that event at our house. And it just from there, it was just like, why don't we just do this for a living? And that's how Murray & Murray Weddings and Events was birthed. So if you wanted to get with us, you want us to plan an event, we do birthdays and anniversaries. We, of course, like I said, we plan weddings, and that includes bridal showers and all of those things. We do it all. And, of course, we'll plan your honeymoon or your destination wedding as well. And you can get in touch with us at Murray, that's M-U-R-R-A-Y, and Murray, LLC, at gmail.com. That's Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, and M-U-R-R-A-Y, LLC, at gmail.com. Or you can contact me directly at 610-772-4919. Again, that's 610-772-4919. And then if you type in Murray and Murray Weddings and Events, you will find our webpage, and you'll be able to check us out to see what we do and see some of our gallery, some of the pictures, some of the events that we've already done.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that information. And I'm going to remind you to work on your commercial for your next talk show, too.
Good. Great.
Just throw that in there. Friendly reminder. Okay,
yes,
so now I want to talk about some of the main changes that you would like to see happen in the upcoming year, and how can we, the community, help you to make this happen?
Wow. Changes that I want to see in the next coming year. You know, it's a few. So, you know, I'm a believer, right? And we already know this, and we're talking about this, but I really believe, and I've believed this since I was a young woman, like since I was a young kid, that love is so very crucial. And it really does cover a multitude of sins. And when we love each other, when we care for each other, we treat each other differently. And the one thing I found in the Word of God, when you look at the commandments and you look at them, God says to love him, to serve him only, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says to love others. The relationship that we have with others is a direct, is a, in direct correlation to the relationship that we have with God. And so when you think about your life, when you think about the different things you've gone through, 9 times out of 10, trust me, I'm going to say 10 times out of 10, is in your relationship with someone else, and that correlates to your relationship with God. Because honestly, if you love God and serve him and then love his people or love people, period, that will show and it would change your relationships and it would change how you think. And so you don't have to be envy or jealous or murder someone. I would like to see in this next year where the body of Christ really expands in love, that people will really exercise, I believe it's John 6:35. I'm not sure if I'm correct doing the right chapter, but it talks about they should know us by our love. And if we don't step up and start showing the love of Christ, then how would they know that he's compassionate, that he really cares about them? That, yes, life is not going to be hard. It's not that, you know, that corny thing we used to say, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and my feet did too. No, it's not going to be like that. Life is going to be what it is, you know. But the difference is you have a father who cares about everything that concerns you. He actually knows the number of hairs on your head. I can't even count the number of hairs on my hand. You know what I mean? You know, you got the little hairs or whatever. I can't even count those, let alone know what every piece of hair on my head, how many there are. And so he's that concerned that he made us fearfully and wonderfully. Like, it basically, God worshiped us first, and that's why we loved him and worshiped him. He took his time with us, and that's why we want to have a relationship with him. And so I would love to see the body of Christ come out and be more loving and be more caring towards people and stop arguing and being envious and jealous of each other. Stop walking in the works of the flesh and start walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And when we do that as a body, we will change the world. And I really believe that.
And I thank you so much. I think that was one of, that was like the pinnacle of the interview for me. Because, you know, I know it was a lot of questions, and I'm not even going through all of the questions that, you know, I presented to you, because, you know, just let the Lord have his way. But this is the pinnacle. This is the highest point we could go in this interview, and I thank you so much. In the scripture, it is John 13:35, and in the Amplified version, it says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another."
Yes.
And
yes,
this is why I love you so much as a sister in Christ, because it has been nothing but love. And I have, you know, I have been around you. You know, I have prayed. We have prayed together. Like, it's just, no matter what happens, you come back to love. And as you're learning me, you know that I always come back to love. And I love to say, at the end, I always do the right thing. And at the end is always the walk in love. We have to learn how to forgive people. But what I love about that verse you brought up, it says unselfish concern for one another. So I am going to take what you just shared, and I am going to bathe it in prayer. Excuse me. Because this is the city of brotherly love, and I don't care what's going on in this city. Many people have given up on this city. Many people speak word curses on this city, and they focus so much on the hatred. But that's not – oh, Millicent,
right,
just start talking. Yeah, you go ahead because I got to get some water.
Okay.
I'm going to let you talk.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead. Take your time. Get some water. I had a choking experience earlier. Not choking, but I was eating some buffalo wings. And just to tell you a little funny thing, and I was eating some buffalo wings, and I was talking to my husband, and a little bit of the hot sauce got down my throat before I planned for it, too. And so I had this whole coughing fit. Of course, my husband laughed at me because he's rude. But, yes, so he wasn't showing love at that time. But, yes, love is so crucial because that's how God made us. He made us from love. And because he made us that way, then we need to show it. And I really believe that it can change the world through, you know, through prayer, through, you know, just asking God to give you that genuine love and that genuine compassion for somebody else. It's so very
yes.
important. And I'm just so glad. Thank you, Stacey, for even asking me that question. Because I don't even know what answer I gave you when you asked. Like for the first time, but I really, that was in my spirit. Like I always feel that way and always have and always will.
But it is connected because you still talked about love. You just said it a little different, but you know, it was beautiful. It was eloquently spoken, to be honest, because
Amen.
At the end of the day, without love, we are nothing. You know, we
nothing.
Can't walk around here professing, you know, if you want to talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. And we can't
mm-hmm.
say we love God and then we hate our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Is it real? Yes. And, you know, we had a topic on the talk show, can we be angry and sin not? Of course we
mm-hmm.
can. It's all about
mm-hmm.
self-control and discipline. But God is just highlighting unselfish. You can't be a selfish person and think that it's all about you. And then God can't, listen, everybody is going through something today, Millicent. You know, somebody is struggling, somebody going in the valley, somebody coming out
mm-hmm.
of the valley, somebody going into
mm-hmm.
a storm. And no matter where they are, God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he said nothing can separate us from his love.
Amen.
So
that's
why
true.
Do we allow little squabbles and fights and stuff to separate us from each other? When God don't, and I mean, sometimes we do stuff that just is not nice, but God still loves us and forgive us. So why can't we forgive one another?
Amen.
Over
Amen.
My computer,
so
I have a plaque, and it says, love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endures all things, and love never fails. And that's
mm-hmm.
from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. So for those of you that are listening, I really hope that you heard what this woman of God said. And since she came on the interview, she's been saying it over and over. Love covers a multitude of sins. And if you don't understand what that means, then go to God and talk to him about it. And say, God, Millicent said that love covers a multitude of sins. So can you tell me what she was talking about? Because I don't feel that right now. Because somebody is listening, and you
mm-hmm.
really want to know. I mean, I
right.
feel that in my spirit. Somebody want to know. How do love cover a multitude of sins? You know, people been
you know.
Betrayed. They've been hurt. I mean, so many things,
yep.
but it really does. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Yeah. No, I'm about to be candid again. So if any of y'all talk about me, I'm going to know that it came from y'all listening to the Eloquently Speaking radio show. my husband and I split. So you, what you see today is after the split. My husband and I split for 2 years. He was with another woman. She actually got pregnant. She lost the baby. But during that whole time, I pulled down divorce papers. I filled them out. And the Holy Spirit kept saying, and I, you know, I was going to say something said, you know, but no, it's the Holy Spirit. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Every time I tried to write my name and sign it, I could not. And then for a whole year, I laid in my bed at night just looking at the ceiling. I don't know what to do. And that whole time, the Holy Spirit was showing me, showing me my faults, showing me my negatives, showing me how I may have treated somebody else, showing me my attitude. And what it did for me, it said, nope, can't. I know it's horrible to have somebody cheat on you. That's a horrible thing for someone to defile what God made honorable in marriage. But at the same time, if God tells you do not divorce, you better not. Now, I'm not speaking for a situation where someone does have to. But even if you had to because of something that's beyond that, you know, getting beat up and different things or whatever, or you feel like your life is in danger, that's different. But even in that, forgiveness is so key. And that's what we're talking about when you say love covers a multitude of sins. Because when you sit down and think about all the things that you've done, everything that you, you know, the you know, little things like the little white lies, they call them, or, you know, you cheated on your taxes, or you knew, you know, that you had too much change back from the cashier, and you kept going and you kept it instead of going back and said, hey, you gave me too much change. I'm talking about all those things, you know, that we've done, the backbiting and arguing and fussing and gossiping, and God covered us, his love covered our multitude of sins, then we can do the same for someone else. And it's just a choice. Make a choice to do it, because people are going to sin against you. People are going to, you know, do things against you, but you've done the same to someone else, and so you have to have that love and that forgiveness in your heart. And then the word says that if you forgive, the Father will forgive you. Amen? Because he's already done his part in forgiving you from before. But stuff you do now after salvation, you need to ask God to forgive you, and you need to forgive others.
And come on, what's the big one? We need to forgive ourselves, Millicent.
Yes, yes. Yes, and triple, quadruple, you know, yes, because a lot of times we end up, you know, putting ourselves through, and that's not good either. God doesn't want us to berate ourselves, because the word clearly says that there is no condemnation. You know, Jesus didn't come for us to condemn. He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn his body. You know, so we, you know, we have to forgive ourselves and really sit down. Again, the Holy Spirit is within us to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us, to order our steps, to be there for us so that, and so we can depend on the Holy Spirit to help us in those situations. And whether we cause someone else pain and we feel so bad about it and we feel guilty about it, or whether somebody else caused us pain, we can forgive others and we can forgive ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Through, yes. I love Zechariah 4:6 because it says, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by my spirit. There is nothing that we can do on our own. Even when we pray, and, you know, sometimes you pray and people say, oh, you really pray. No, that was the Holy Ghost. You lay hands on somebody and they get healed. Oh,
yeah.
The gifts of healing is working, yes, but that was the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know, and that's how we stay pure in our heart. And it's so easy to get that, receive the accolades, because people will glorify you. But God is listening and he watching, like, okay, what Millicent going to do now? Mm-hmm. What's Stacy going to do now? Lord, we going to honor you. and lead the people to you. Yes.
And we better.
Look, pull on my coattail and say, hey, you out of order, sis. And to be honest, that's love. And that's going to be, we're going to have to do a part two for the rest of your interview, because we didn't touch base on some of the things that I want to, you know, really bring to the table, because you just had so much to share. And I want to bring that to the table, because we really have to be raw and honest with God and not be afraid to talk to him like we're talking. I mean, it's a little bit different because he's God. You know, but I believe we do a good job with helping people take that mask off.
Amen.
And where they can, you know, go to the Father and not be ashamed or not be embarrassed and be able to say, God, this is it. This is where I am today. I need your help. you know. So that's powerful. I want to give you an opportunity to give your contact information again as we get ready to close, and I want you to give your closing remarks. And everyone that is listening, thank you so much for joining us. This is Welcome to the Couch with Millicent Murray, and I pray that something said today has been a blessing to you and that you learned more about this wonderful woman of God. We are going to schedule a part two. And the things that we did not discuss today, we're going to tap into those things. And we're going to learn about these awesome books that she wrote. That's going to be a blessing to so many people. So stay connected. Please go to the website and you could sign up to, you could click follow. And every time there's an episode, you'll be notified. But Millicent, thank you so much for joining me today for this interview. I'm so happy to, you know, just shine the spotlight on you, and thank you for everything that you're doing, you know, with the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. It's just a privilege and an honor to work with someone that is so loving and kind, and I'm not just saying that. You really are a beautiful person. So you can close it out, give your contact information, and then it'll be a wrap.
All right. Okay, so again, if you want to contact me, again, as Stacey said, if you had any questions or anything like that, feel free. Again, my email address is Murray, that's M-U-R-R-A-Y, and with A-N-D, Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y-L-L-C at gmail.com. That's Murray and Murray at L-L-C at gmail.com. Or you can call me at 610-772-4919. Again, 610-772-4919. And the only thing I want to say in closing, and then I'll let Stacey, you know, do what she needs to do, stay encouraged and stay in God. And despite everything that may happen to you, despite the things that the enemy tries to bring against you, stay in God. Learn how to pray. Learn how to get in God's face. Learn how to depend on the Holy Spirit so that he can lead you and guide you into all truth. And know that though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, remember, it's a shadow of death, right? That you don't have to fear any evil because God is with you. And as Stacey said earlier, that he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is right there with you. So stay encouraged and be blessed. And thanks for tuning in.
Well, thank you so much. And everyone, you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we just want to give God the glory for allowing this platform for us to have candid interviews and bring the gospel in a very unique way, in a non-traditional way, to help spread the good news. And one of the things, Millicent, that I do want to say is the song that was playing at the beginning, they said I wouldn't make it. You have a message for women. God has blessed you with a woman's ministry, healing and deliverance. And so many women think that they can't make it. And through your message today, I just know that someone has been encouraged, especially when you ministered about blending the family. I really think that has, you know, we're going to get some positive feedback in that area. But wherever you are, whoever you are, and whatever you are going through, and whatever they said about you, and it hurt you, give it to God. And know that we are praying for you, but you are going to make it. And we are your biggest cheerleaders. We believe in you. There is greatness inside of you. And just let God have his way, because love covers a multitude of sins. And God bless everyone. Have a good evening. Love you, Millicent, and we'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.